Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Hey there, patriots. Good morning. I'm so glad to see you. I apologize. I was over here doing the video thinking it was working, and it clearly was not. And so, hopefully everything is good now. Give me the thumbs up if you see me and you hear me. I was halfway through Esther, and I'm like, I looked over and I saw that something wasn't working. I apologize for that. Good morning. I'm so glad to see you again. I'm Melissa Redpill, and we look at the current events in the light of God's Word. Yes, I've been talking about Esther for an hour. Not going to have an hour, but anyway, if you're new here, my name is MelissaRedpill.com, and I'm sorry that I scared you guys, that you thought maybe something had happened to me. I'm okay. Everything's okay. So yes, welcome to the Freedom Force Battalion. Again, I'm Melissa Redpill. This is it, you guys. I'll start over. This is it. I'm just so thankful that we have been able to piece these things together. And we knew, as you see the title of this video about the storm, Purim is the storm. The storm is upon us. This war in Iran is the storm. And so give me the thumbs up. Guys, see all the thumbs up. Yay. So yeah, this is the storm that is upon us. He hasn't said those words exactly, but I know that this is what Purim is about. It's the destruction of our enemies. We've been studying the book of Esther and preparing for Purim, which comes on Monday night at the full moon, the blood moon on Monday night. And we've known that something big was going to happen. This celebration is the destruction of our enemies, the annihilation of our enemies. And so this is what we're experiencing right now. We're going to watch and see. President Trump said he is telling the Iranian people to stay in their homes, and that the other people, the military, better lay down their arms or they will meet with certain death. This is to take out the Iranian regime, which is obviously a proxy for the cabal, for the New World Order satanic criminal cabal. And so we know that that's what's happening in this day. So anyway, this is what's where we are in this timeline. And we've been preparing for the book to study this book. I'm sorry, we've been preparing for Purim by studying the book of Esther. And so you'll see here, you've got, this is the one that I was just working on. I was studying before I came on and was really live on the show. But this is, we were studying each of the videos that we've done. Today's chapter 10 is very short. And so I'm going to do a history, a summary rather, of the book of Esther today to remind you in case you missed any of the videos in the series. And when you go to my playlist and you type in the book of Esther, you'll see all of the videos over there in the Esther playlist. And so if you want to catch up, you can catch up on each one of those. So definitely check this out. Check out our site, MelissaRedpill.com. And here, please make sure that you are subscribed. Make sure you like and share, because these are really great and very timely. And I'm very thankful that the Lord has helped us to understand what's going on, because this is the day. It's the destruction of our enemies. If you're not familiar with what we do, this is one of my most recent books, The Golden Age, talking about all the wonderful things that are going to happen in the Golden Age. And so we are going to rule and reign with Christ. And that's really what the book of Esther is about, is that we will be in these positions of authority, that we are being raised to a position of authority, and that the evildoers will be gone. So we're gonna study that. So, here's the book on Amazon, so you can check it out over there. Okay, so before we get started, let's go ahead and pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for our wonderful president. Thank you for all these wonderful military people who are putting themselves in harm's way. We pray that you'll protect them, surround them with your heavenly host. We pray for the Iranian people that you would protect them because of all that they have been through. Lord, we pray that the enemy will be brought down quickly, and that they will no longer be able to harm anyone anymore, with either the Iranian people or people all over the world. And I thank you for our wonderful president, how you have given him such great wisdom and strength and courage to stand up against this evil, satanic, criminal cabal. I thank you, Lord, this is the day of our great victory and the day that we will be raised into these positions of authority as your beautiful queen. And that we pray all this in your wonder. Oh, and I pray also for everyone's health here. I pray that you'll strengthen each one of us to do the task that you've called us to strengthen our bodies, strengthen our minds, strengthen us so that we can fulfill the role that you have tasked us for such a time as this. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All righty, let's go. So I want to first read this chapter 10 because it's a very, very short chapter. We've already done chapters 1 through 9, and so I'm going to read to you just this short little clip at chapter 10. It says, King Ahasuerus, you might have heard his name, King Xerxes. He laid a tribute on the land and on the islands of the sea. Aren't all the acts of his power and of his might and the full account of the greatness of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Persia, Media and Persia? And so basically he says, I don't need to really tell you any more because this is all written in the history books. Well, I don't know that I necessarily have a history book of Media and Persia, but either way, we in some of the history books, you just wonder if you're getting the truth. But anyway, so they didn't write anymore once it was finished. This is the last chapter of the book of Esther. It says, for Mordecai the Jew was next to the king Ahasuerus, and the great among the Jews, and accepted by the multitude of his brothers, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his descendants. So what we're seeing is the end of the story. So spoiler alert, this is where we're headed. It's all going to be okay. It's all going to be good, and God's people will be raised to these positions of authority. And that's where we're headed. That's where we're headed in the book of Esther. That's where we're headed in the timeline of history. And that's where we are. Today is the 28th of February. The Purim celebration starts on Monday. And I would love it if this whole thing is over and it's time to celebrate on Monday. Wouldn't that be great? It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility, because President Trump doesn't go in and do like they do these forever endless wars. He goes in and he takes care of business and they get out. That's been the way it works. So we will see. But bottom line, this Iranian regime, of course, President Trump doesn't have a beef at all with the Iranian people. It's with the Iranian regime that is the proxy of the New World Order criminal cabal, right? All right, so now I wanted to go through and show you each chapter one by one and just give you a summary of what happened in each of these chapters. All right, so the first one is just a summary of this. You see, the king is king over 127 provinces. He is ruling with an iron fist. You better do what he says. And the reason, one of the main reasons for that, is because if a king was not tough, he was dead. And would be deposed. And so he has himself as this tough king, and everybody knows if you go before him without being summoned, then it's off with your head. I mean, it's very, very strict, strong rules. If he puts out an edict, it's this is what it's going to be, and you like it, you don't like it, it doesn't matter. This is what's going to happen. Okay, so you're going to see that throughout the story. It's 127 provinces. Now, the entire book of Esther really doesn't even say the name of God, but it is it's a picture for us in our day of us, even in this day where it's like almost illegal to say the name of God. You know, no prayer is allowed here, and all these different things are happening in this world. Even though it's so difficult to have faith right now in this world, we see that that's going to all turn around. And the Lord's people will be honored. The Lord will be honored in this world. And that's really what the whole book of Esther is about. Unfortunately, that's not the way it was taught all of our lives. It was taught more about, you know, this historical book. But the real thing that I want to bring out today is that this is a picture of us being raised to this position of authority and our enemies being annihilated. That is the whole point of the book of Esther. They did not want us to think about that. They didn't want us to think that we had enemies that were out to destroy us. But now we know because we are awake. All right. So Xerxes is ruling over this entire empire. He, in his third year, he gave this huge banquet. Well, at this banquet, everyone got extremely drunk. They were there for days and days and days, this party, and drinking with no holds barred on the drinking, and they got really sloshed. And so by the end of it, they decided in this drunken stupor, the king decided to bring out his queen. Now, again, this picture is about Queen Vashti being replaced with Queen Esther, doing an upgrade, and the Lord setting the stage for her to be in a position to save God's people. I doubt that Vashti would have done that. And so this is the whole point, is that we, as we're raised to this position, and have good people in these positions, President Trump and Hegseth and all these ones who are raised in these positions, they are doing this to truly save humanity. And not just be about the position and the pomp and circumstance and making money for themselves and do this for themselves. They're doing it for the good of humanity. President Trump is clearly doing this to save the people of Iran. None of the other presidents have ever done this. And he is doing this to save Iran and to save humanity. All right, so on this day, Queen Vashti, again, we don't know if she was a good queen or not, but later on, he's going to be sorry for what he did, because on this day, he wanted her to come to the court, and she refused. You do not refuse the king. The people can't even believe that she would refuse the king. But this is the problem. My mouth is really dry. When he calls her in there to parade around, likely she knew that this would bring her down in the eyes of the people. And she did not want to go and be paraded around and to be demeaned, and then she would lose her power. Okay? That's what they wanted. They wanted her to be thought badly of and to be brought down in their eyes. And, they didn't realize that she was going to refuse. The king needs a strong queen. He needs a queen who is going to be his really strong counterpart. Well, he got drunk and he got led into doing this and this foolish decision, and she refused to come. And so then it makes it even worse, because they're all mad because here it is, the verse, verse 12 says, well, when they conveyed the king's order to Queen Vashti, she refused to come, and this made the king furious. Now, so he's drunk, he's mad, not a good combination. And so then they're saying, well, what penalty does the law provide for a queen who refuses the king's orders properly sent through his eunuchs? Oh boy, here they go. They're all making some very bad decisions. So here, we're going to find out what they're going to do. They make a decree. They said, if it pleases the king, we suggest you do a written decree, allow the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked, order the Queen Vashti be forever banished from the presence of King Xerxes, and that the king should choose another queen more worthy than she. When this decree is published throughout the king's vast empires, husbands everywhere, whatever the rank, will receive the respect from their wives. Okay, so this is what they've chosen to do in their drunken stupor. And so you'll see that, that's exactly what he chooses to do. He chooses in this drunken stupor to have her removed. And so, again, whether she was a good queen or not a good queen, I don't think that she was going to be prepared to do what had to be done to save God's people. That's the whole thing about Esther being tough and strong and courageous to push back and to destroy the enemies of God and of his people. Okay? And so again, the whole time we're doing this, I want to try to pinpoint and focus in on God's people being this whole thing being about God's people raised into this position of authority. Okay. So, so they sent this out. And so they said in the letters that they sent out to all the provinces that, that in its own script, in its own language, proclaiming that every man should be the ruler of his own home, and she, the wife, should say whatever he pleases. I think that's going to work. I think that's probably not something that an edict can really, yeah, rule your house with an iron fist. This whole thing sounds like something somebody who was drunk would do. All right, so that's the first thing. I want you to see the empire that he was over. As I just read, in their own script, in their own language, this was a huge empire all the way from Egypt, all the way over to India. And here is the capital city, right? It's basically in the middle. So this doesn't even show you the whole empire. It's a huge empire that he's ruling over. And again, when he puts out an edict, it is law. There's no other choice but to follow whatever he says. And so Esther and her cousin Mordecai, we're going to read about here in just a second, they came all the way from Jerusalem, all the way across this way into Babylon. And they were actually in Susa right here, in this capital city right here, Susa. And so you'll see they had to go this way because the Arabian Desert, you do not want to cross that. So that's where they went, this way along the river. All right, so this is what has happened. And so now, again, I have this all set up for, I was already halfway through the book of Esther. All right, so here is here's chapter 2. So now the Lord it's time to bring in Esther. And so Esther is going to prove herself to be a worthy queen and someone who is going to work for the good of the people. And also be a good counterpart to King Xerxes, King Ahasuerus. All right, so they said, let's send out an edict to find all the beautiful young virgins for the king. And that's exactly what they did. And so that this will be a queen instead of Vashti. Now, I really do believe that they were likely wanted to remove Vashti and put in someone that they could control, typical of what we see them do in political positions. And so but the king thought that was a good idea. So they had this beautiful, all the beautiful girls being brought in. And of course, you know, they were all beautiful, but there was a beautiful one who was also very highly respected and very highly admired. So how she carried herself in such a way that she was so highly admired is, it doesn't really say, but she was beautiful and lovely. She had been adopted by Mordecai after her parents had been killed, maybe from that long journey. Who knows? It doesn't really say exactly what had killed, how they had been, how they had died. But now she's under the care of Haggai. Now that she is in this harem, I don't know, it's a kind of a pre-harem where they're being primped and buffed and polished and worked on if you've got any kind of bacteria or whatever, they're going to be clean them up from anything that could potentially infect the king. So for months and months and months, they were doing all this. And so he, though, had her go to a special place in the harem, and she had a special menu. So maybe he somehow figured out that she was a Jew. Now, maybe he was a Jew, and he could key in on that. But either way, she had 7 maids, and those, like a maid for each day, and that they didn't key in on it. And so she kept all this on the down low. Remember, we were talking about that a few weeks ago. And she honored her cousin Mordecai. She trusted that he had this wisdom and that she just, you know, followed his advice. And so that's another thing about Queen Esther that also is about us as God's people, that we follow the Lord. We're like, okay, Lord, you know, beauty is great, but the real beauty is that we would submit and surrender show honor to the Lord, right? And so she didn't tell anybody her nationality, just like Mordecai had said. She's also very respectful. All accounts, Haggai noticed this about her. So all these months go by. They're doing this 6 months of oil of myrrh, 6 months of perfumes and ointments. So yeah, this whole thing with the myrrh, that will, if you've got any kind of disease, that'll knock it out. That's the whole point of that. Like, you can't go to the king and give him some kind of disease. All right, so all the other young ladies were able to pick whatever they wanted to take to wear in to see the king. And so yeah, they would go, and this was their lot, was that they would either become the queen or they would be in the harem for the rest of their days. So yeah, and it sounds, you know, it sounds on one side, okay, well, you're provided for and you're going to be you know, safe and all that. But the idea of having a family, having children, having a love, you know, loving relationship is off the table. So that's it's a tough position that she was called to. And so this is, you know, it's similar to, you know, that we have been called to this position, and sometimes we've experienced a lot of difficulties in this because the Lord raised us into this position to awaken and to help to share the truth. And maybe we might have had some difficult days. I'm sure each one of you guys have. Maybe you've had family members who have cut you off. Maybe you've had lost jobs and all kinds of different suffering that you have experienced. But anyway, but the Lord has raised us to this position for a reason, for this time. And so it's all going to work out in the end. But that was the condition. That was the situation for each of these girls that was taken. And they were not asked if they wanted to go. They were just taken from their homes. So this is, again, this is a kingdom. And he runs this kingdom, like I said, with an iron fist. All right. So each girl, when they went, they would either be chosen to be the queen, or they would be in the harem for the rest of their days. And just, that's it. That's your life. So Esther, this Mordecai's cousin, she, when it was her time, she accepted the advice of Haggai. Again, this humility to accept that he has the wisdom and understanding about the king that she likely does not have. And so she accepted his advice on what to wear, what to take, what to do, what to say. And so she asked for nothing except what he suggested, and she was admired by everyone who saw her. Now, again, I think that the focus has not been on, in the studies that I have seen, it's not been on that he was looking, they think that he's looking for someone who's beautiful and seductive. I don't think that was the issue. The issue was he's looking for a queen. And Haggai made sure that she understood what he was looking for. He's looking for someone. Yes, I'm sure he vetted them all. But he wanted, I don't know that he did Esther. I don't think he did with Esther. I just had that strong feeling. I think he had a very, very high respect for her and recognized that he wanted her in this position as the queen to be his counterpart, to help him to rule this kingdom as in all these official capacities, and that she would be someone showing that everyone would highly respect. I believe that's what the case was with her. All right, so when she was taken, the king loved her more than any other of the young women. Again, I believe the issue is he saw in her what the others had seen in her, that she was highly respected. Again, this is who we are as God's people, that we are being raised to this position. We are, you know, there's a lot of beautiful people out there, but we are those who honor the Lord, and we're different. We're going to stand up. We're going to speak the truth no matter what happens, no matter what we have to endure. And that's the point of the Omer, as you see the Omer bundle behind me, that those who were hand chosen are those he knew would do that. And I want you to, you know, pinch yourself and really, you know, thank the Lord that you have been chosen for this because of your courage, your faith, your, you know, all these years that you've walked with the Lord and you've shown this great faith day after day. This has been your proving ground. And the Lord said, yes, you are someone who I believe will stand up for the people. And you know, just pinch yourself. It's really quite an honor. And so very similar to what we're seeing with this book, in this book of Esther, that she was raised because of who she was, not on the only on the outside, but also on the inside. Okay. All right. So, he chose her. He's putting the royal crown on her head. There's a huge banquet. They have a big declaration of an holiday, generous gifts to everyone. All this is happening. And so still she didn't tell about her relationship with Mordecai. She's honoring him, even though she is the queen now. She's honoring him still, similar to how we honor our family members, our parents, that even if we're grown and we are, you know, taking care of ourselves, we continue to show them honor. Same thing with Mordecai. She trusted his wisdom. And so there was a small little thing I want to make sure that you understood. It tucks it in right here that Mordecai had actually saved the king's life. he had from an assassination attempt, and he had never been rewarded. And so that's going to come into to bear here in just a little bit. But yeah, so that's the first two chapters. And so now we're going to go on with chapter three. Let's see, the next one was study number two. Now we're going to get into this plot against God's people. And so here you go. Again, I've got it in the wrong place. All right, so we go with this. I'm going to go to chapter three. All right, so on chapter three, again, we're just going very quickly. If you want to go into more detail, then you have to go to each of the chapters, each of the videos. So Haman has this plot against the Jews. He's very, very angry because Mordecai refuses to bow. As he, as the second in command to the king, parades around town, everyone bows down according to the king's command, but Mordecai refuses. Now, this is the king's command, and the people are asking Mordecai, why are you not bowing? Why are you disobeying the king's command? And he still refused. Now, he does not believe this man deserves this honor, and he's, I guess he does not believe that it's necessary for him to do this. Either way, he's refusing, and it just gets on Haman's last nerve. Then Haman finds out that he's a Jew, and so immediately he wants to kill all of the Jews. And he's going to work it out so that he gets the king to agree. And so a lot of these people are out there working the king all the time. Throughout the book, you'll see that. And so it's not an easy thing to be a king. You've got all these competing forces around you, similar to, you know, President Trump. Everyone is always trying to control what he does. So when Haman saw, he was filled with rage, and so he made a Purim. A Purim is where they cast lots. You're like, I've never even, before this study, or you know, maybe in the past, you've never even heard of the word Purim, and it is a celebration that we were supposed to keep perpetually. Not just the Jews. If this is a biblical festival, we are, you know, the whole entire Bible is for us. And so they've kind of misled us on, you know, what to do. But God had told us to keep these festivals perpetually. We're supposed to keep the Feast of First Fruits perpetually. We celebrate it as Easter, which is great to celebrate the completion of it. You know, we're supposed to celebrate the Day of Atonement. We're supposed to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets. If we had, wouldn't that have helped us so much in connecting what was happening in this world? That's why they didn't want us to celebrate these things. They wanted it to be their symbolism and their dates, and not where we would connect these dots. So the Festival of Purim is the one where you celebrate the annihilation of the enemies of God and his people. And so here on this day, Haman decides to cast lots, or Purim, that lots are called Purim, whether it's a dice or drawing straws or whatever, to decide when would be the day that he would have all of his, of the Jews, all of God's people killed. And so it fell on the moon, the full moon in March, what we call March. And so we call this in God's word, you know, it's his Purim. Now that's what we call it. So every year at the full moon in March, we're to celebrate Purim. And I found out that I found out that I was born on Purim. I didn't even know that. As many times as I had studied this book, I had never found that out. I'd never realized that. So I thought that was really, really cool. And so I'm very thankful that for my birthday now. I think that's pretty cool. And so, this is what we should have been celebrating, because it really would have helped us to have our thoughts seated on that we have enemies that are out to destroy us. And that's exactly what Haman is. So Haman, I'll say the Haman and y'all go boo, right? Boo. Haman is so evil. I call him hateful Haman. And so he makes he casts these lots. And now, once he set this date, he is going to the king to ask for permission to kill them all. And so he goes and he lies about God's people, saying that they're different, that they don't obey you. And so because he's just so filled with anger. And the point is, they don't like it if we don't obey them. They expect us, if whatever they say, for us to just believe it and to follow. And we refuse. Again, that's what's so special about, you know, what us, now that we've awakened, we're like, no, we're not going to take your jab. We're not going to believe what you say on the news. We're not going to bow down to you. And that's just the end of it. We realize now that you are our enemies. And as President Trump has many times said, the media is the enemy of the people. So he's told the king, though, that they won't bow down. Well, many people did, as I was saying before, lose their jobs, lose their livelihoods, lose their friends, lose family members, because we refused to bow down. This is, the Lord said that he wanted us to stand up and not bow to them and to speak the truth. That's the biggest thing. They can't abide. They've canceled us and canceled us and canceled us. Thank goodness for Telegram. Thank goodness for Rumble. Thank goodness for now X, that we can speak the truth over there. We're speaking the truth a good bit on YouTube now, but not completely. But we just got back on after being banned for 5 years. This is not so different from this roadmap that we see in the book of Esther. So now he said, look, I will give you, King, 10,000 large bags of silver for this, to put in the treasury. This man is putting his money where his mouth is. Let me show you how much money that is. Okay, that's not it. I have this right here. It is 375 tons of gold, which is worth $36 billion in current day. This man was crazy wealthy. He is second in command. He's extremely high and powerful in the government. In this power structure, he is full of himself, just like these billionaires. And it's not so different from what we are just now seeing, that as we see King Prince Andrew was just arrested. He's the queen's second son, and he was just arrested. This is like the hateful Haman. You look at Epstein, he was the switchboard who actually went and to speak to the ones at the top, the bloodlines at the top, and to discuss things with them. So he is maybe still is. We'll find out if he's alive or dead. But he's in a high position of power, and he's being brought down. Bill Gates, just like this week, Larry Summers was just brought down. This is an amazing time to be alive. These ones who've been in these high positions, these hateful Hamans, boo, they are being brought down. Do you see what I'm saying? This is an amazing thing that the Lord is allowing us to connect all these things. And this is the bringing down of this terrible criminal cabal. On and on names we could continue on, but one after another are dropping like flies, and this is just the beginning. 2,000 names were released about the Bohemian Grove. There, and everyone whose name was in the Epstein files, they are all resigning and likely will soon be arrested. This is these high and powerful billionaires who've gone to the Bohemian Grove, who've plotted against us. They are being brought down. They're being exposed, and everyone's connecting out that they are working against humanity, and they're being brought down. So wonderful. That's why they didn't want President Trump in this position as the president, because they knew that would give him the power to bring down their evil regime. And it's taken a long time, but we're there. We're finally there. We're finally up for him. So, so, so thankful. All right. So that's the whole thing. He's offering him $36 billion in silver. Crazy amount of money. But if he's giving him $36 billion, he probably has $100 billion. He's extremely wealthy for that day. But his entire empire, his own little personal empire, is going to be brought down. You're going to see that in the end of the book. So I want you to see this huge amount of money. And so the king was like, okay, yeah, great. If you give him $36 billion, what king is not going to go ahead and take that money? He says, oh, the money and the people are both yours to do with as you see fit. Go ahead. That's a small thing. But I'll tell you one thing, he'll have to cough up that money. So yeah, this is the kind of power that someone is in when they are the king of this empire, or even President Trump. That's why so many of these people, have not done, they've just done what the cabal at the top, the puppet masters at the top, have told them to do, because this power goes straight to their head. And also, they don't feel that they have really this ability to do it. But you see, in this case, he was the king of the world. And so he just with, okay, go ahead with your own little edict. Here's my signet ring. Go ahead and just sign this edict. Thinking he'll get, you know, he, what does he care? If these people are against his, you know, are not following his rules, if that's what Haman says, then okay. Yeah. This is a big problem. The silent agreements that they do behind the doors that cause people such terrible trauma and not so different from the Iranian regime that's being brought down this very moment, this very minute. Amazing, amazing, being brought, their system being brought down. All right, so they summoned. They said, "Okay, this is the we'll use this signet ring. You know, this is where they have a ring, and then they put the wax on the paper that has all the edict of the king, and then no one, you know, then everyone in throughout the entire kingdom knows that this is the true word of the king, the edict that cannot be reversed. That they would have all of the Jews killed on the full moon of March." Okay, so this is what they sent out, these swift messengers, to have all the people killed. At the king's command, the decree went out by swift messengers. It was proclaimed in the fortress of Susa, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. Isn't that evil? They sent out this edict to have everyone killed, and then they're going to have a drink. And all the city of Susa fell into confusion. It's so awful. All right, so I'm going to show you what, you know, the next chapter, in chapter 4, you know, now Mordecai is in terrible wailing. He went as far as the king's palace, for no one was allowed to enter the palace gate while he was wearing mourning clothes. He's in burlap and ashes, wailing a loud and bitter wail. Mordecai is beside himself, and I imagine he feels responsible for what has happened with this edict going out. But even still, you know, he still has to stand. It's the same with us. We know that we, you know, that some of the things that we have said have caused people distress. When we tell people the truth about what happened at Epstein Island, we tell people the truth about these people that they've trusted, that they are no good. I was just having a conversation last night with someone trying to help her understand, you know, who these people are, that they're pure evil. And you're trying so hard to help someone understand the truth, and it causes all this, you know, difficulty. And you stand up against the powers that be, and you're canceled. You lose a job, causing you harm and suffering. But there's no choice. We have no choice. We have to stand. We cannot. The Lord has put in us something that we cannot bow to them. Same with Mordecai. This, you see how this entire book is really about us, and about us rising up in this day, refusing to bow, and to end this evil regime. That is what the whole book of Esther is about. And so now they're weeping and they're fasting and they're crying out to the Lord. Well, Mordecai realizes that Hadassah, his cousin, is now the queen. And this was not by accident. This was not a coincidence that the Lord placed her as the queen at this very moment. So, because can you imagine if this had happened under Vashti as the queen? She was likely, you know, she would not have, first of all, he would not have been able to even tell her, because we're going to find out that Esther, Hadassah, doesn't even know what's going on. She's in this ivory tower. She doesn't even know. So when she finds out, she's deeply distressed. And so she sends him new different clothes. It's like, Esther, come on now. You know, don't even realize what's going on. She's so quickly become disconnected from the reality of the people. That's one of the problems of the ivory tower. And so they said, she sent the order to go find out what was troubling him. And so Hathach went out to find out. And so the conversation goes back and forth, because they're not actually having a conversation between the two of them. It's all going through Hathach. And so he tells what's happened, that Haman's put out this edict. And she says, but the king has not called me. I'm not allowed to go to the king. If I do, I'll be killed. And again, we already know what happened. We don't really know if Vashti was killed or if she was banished. We don't know exactly what happened, one or the other, but she can't come back. Either way, she's not coming back. So, but if anyone goes to see the king without being summoned, it's off with your head. unless he holds out the golden scepter. Now, I'm going to mention something to you that I don't know if I mentioned before, but I think, again, this is symbolic. A lot of this is symbolic of us going before the Lord of all creation. He was the Lord of the Persian Empire, but we go before the Lord, and we are asking him, you know, we don't deserve to go before him. In reality, we don't deserve to go and put a petition before the Lord to save humanity, to save us from our enemies. But we, he holds out that golden scepter. If he'll hold out that golden scepter, that's a picture of mercy and grace. And it's really Jesus Christ is the scepter. He is the scepter. And we touch him. He is the connection point between us and the Lord, the Father of heaven and earth. He is the one who, God the Father, who is there as on this seat, on this throne, that we need to somehow be able to access. And it's through that scepter of grace and mercy that we touch, which is our Lord Jesus, that we're able to go and present our petitions. I hope you see that. That is, it's such a beautiful picture. And the Lord is there to rescue us, but we have to go in the right way. That's why some of the movies that they have about Esther I don't like, because they are not really recognizing our position of humility before the Lord, and that we have to go in this position of humility before him and sending in our petition. All right, there is a new thought process going around in the church that we just call things into existence. Not really. We are sometimes given authority, and in the golden age, we will have this authority granted to us. It will be raised into this different level of position of authority, but we always go to the Lord humbly requesting and making these petitions before the Lord. Right? And recognizing that he is the one who's in control. He's the one who has the power to do this or that. And he's also the one who knows the full picture. You know, sometimes you'll say, oh, President Trump, you know, go in and do this or that or the other, stop the war in Gaza or stop the war in Ukraine or stop the war, and it has to be done in the right timing. You know, as we know, this happening today. You know, we've been praying for this for so long, and it all had to be done in the right timing and the right way. Unfortunately, that's when we're in a real battle against evil forces that have a lot of power, a lot of money, a lot of ability to harm, it could not be done until the time was right. And so, you know, we sometimes don't have we never have all the pieces of the puzzle. We never have all of it. So unless we're in a position like, you know, President Trump, who has all the information. And so we have to, you know, pray for people in authority that they'll have the information that they need and the wisdom that they need to be able to destroy those who are against us. Amen. All right. So, yeah. So here, she told Esther the message that what's going on with Mordecai. And Mordecai said, told him, you know, if I go without him holding out the golden scepter, then it's off with my head. And so Hathach gave Esther's message to Mordecai. And these are the famous words in verse 13. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you'll escape when all the other Jews are killed. Just because you're in the palace doesn't mean you'll escape. And he says, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? So I really appreciate Mordecai's faith, because he knew the Lord was going to rescue God's people. The salvation of God's of the world through the Messiah, Jesus had not, of course, been born at this point. You know, it was not going to be stopped by this hateful Haman. He knew that God's people would be rescued. He had that faith. He knew that that was going to happen. He knew God was not going to make this plan, and that Haman was going to stop God's eternal plan. No way. And so, but he says, but you perhaps were made queen for such a time as this. And this is the thing for each of us. The Lord raised us up and has awakened us to understand things we never understood before, we'd never seen before, we were completely asleep to. He did this for such a time as this, and he's expecting us to be brave and strong and tough. And the same thing with Esther. This is a picture. This whole book is really about us. It's a story for us at this time that we will rise into that position of authority and stay strong and do the right thing. And so she realized that he was right, and that she was in this position for this time. And she said, my maids and I will. Okay, so she said, go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days. Night or day, my maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. All right. So that's been our attitude too, that we're going to expose the truth. And if something happens to us, if, like I said before, if we lose jobs, if we lose friends, if we lose family, if we lose our life, that's what it's going to have to be, because this is what the Lord has put in our hearts to do at this time. We have to speak the truth. We have to speak up. We have to stand up. All right. So that's what's happening there. Let's see if there's a picture. Okay. So this is the picture of the Queen Esther in the heavens, the Queen of Heaven. This is not specifically Esther, but I mean, this is about us being raised to this position of authority. And if you look in the night sky, on a clear night, you will see, and you have to look like near the North Star, you will see this W in the sky. It's pretty easy to see. And that is her throne. As you know, the Lord has named all the stars. He knows the stars by name. And so that's how you identify that this is the throne of God's people. And that we are at that point in the golden age, as I was showing you, this is the day when we are being raised into that position of authority as the queen. We've been pushed down, but we are going to be raised up. This is what's happening right now. All right. So that is all in that chapter on the plot to kill us. All right. So the next one, oh, I wanted you to see, you know, all this crying that's going on. I want you to remind you also in the book of Matthew, our Lord Jesus said, then when you see the sign of the Son of Man, it'll appear in the heavens and there will be deep mourning amongst all the people. Again, this is really what I believe it's, you know, that when this edict, when we realize there's an edict against us, there's mourning. There was an edict before. We just didn't know it. And once the announcement was proclaimed, we realized that this was the truth of what's going on, then there's great mourning. And then you see, of course, with the jab and them playing this out, rolling this out, that there has been a terrible mourning. There's been so many people who have died, and all the wars, it's just more than I care to go into right now. But there has been great mourning because the enemy has been fighting us. He knows he has little time. And so he's fighting with every last bit of energy and evil that he has. I mean, just all the people who are in the streets right now, you can tell that the people are under such duress, and some of the mental illness, it's off the charts, really. And so this has been a lot of mourning because these people have been brought into our country and all of the things that they've been able to do, not only here, but in Venezuela, in Iran, in Gaza, and on and on we go, and in our country. All right, so now let's go on to the next one. This is study number 3. This was where they prayed. This is what I was just reading to you, that they prayed and the Lord is going to guide them. I'm going to show you what he's going to have them do in response to his prayer and their prayers of 3 days and 3 nights, no water, no food. And they're going to, we're going to see what the Lord has set all these different things in motion. All right. So here is Queen Esther going before the king. On the third day of the fast, she put on her royal robe. She entered the palace across from the king's hall, and the king was sitting on his royal throne facing that entrance. So he saw her as she's outside, but she's in a position that if he is not in a good mood, if he's drunk, if things are not exactly right, she can have her head lopped off right there for her standing right there. Now she's in her royal robes and her crown. and that she is there in royal business, on royal business. Now, the king is always being asked this or asked that. Oh, would you sign this edict? Da, 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 all this, all the day long, that's all that happens with it in his world. It's just always some kind of problem in the kingdom, and he has to know about this problem or that problem. Like you know, President Trump has to deal with so many different things. So she, though, is recognizing, similar to us with the Lord, you know, we don't always go to the Lord and ask for things. And you're going to see as we talk about chapter 5, you know, she's going to go and ask to do something for him. And that's what we do with the Lord. You know, we don't always go with hat in hand asking for things. We just go and say, Lord, we bless you and we thank you and we praise you. We honor you and we want to show you great respect. You know, that should really be the lion's share of our prayers, not always just asking for what we need. You know, sometimes we have to go asking for our needs, but she's not there to be another burden on him. And I'm, you know, saying that, you know, we're never a burden on the Lord, but I want him to know that we love him, not just because of what we can get out of him, right? So when he saw her standing there and with such her demeanor, with her royal robes, he welcomed her and he held out the golden scepter. So when we go before the Lord, as I was saying before, he holds out the golden scepter, which is our Lord Jesus. He is that beautiful scepter of gold, and we are able to approach his throne, right? And so he says, what do you want, Queen Esther? And so what is your request? I will give it to you even if it is to half of the kingdom. Now, this is the answer to prayer. The Lord has put in his heart to give her this amazing audience and for him to give her even half the kingdom. He knows that she's not coming for no reason. She's coming because there's a very pressing need. She would not have appeared and risked her life. Everybody at the thing probably gasped when she appeared. What's she doing here? And so, especially when everyone knows what happened with Vashti. So she said, I would love to have a banquet for you. So again, that's similar to what we do with the Lord. We give a banquet of praise and love and adoration to him. And it's not just about what we can get out of him, for sure. Okay, so she prepared this banquet. He went to the banquet and he asks, while we're at the banquet, what is it that you want? And she said, here's in verse 8, if I found favor with the king, if it pleases the king to grant my request and do what I ask, please come to with Haman to the banquet I'll prepare for you. Okay, and then I will tell you what this is all about. So now there's the first banquet and the second banquet. I guess I go into more detail about this in this video right here. You can go into much more detail. But she says, yes, I'd love to have you at another banquet. Now, she was led in through this prayer, a time of 3 days and three nights, to invite Haman. And I would not have done that. But that is what the Lord led her to do, is to invite this horrible, hateful Haman. Boo. But this is, again, why we pray, because the Lord leads us to do things that we would not normally, be our thought process. This is how the Lord leads us as we pray, and on what he would have us to do. And so Haman was so happy on that first night when he left the banquet. He said, this is so great. I'm, you know, not just have the billions and billions and billions of dollars, and not only can destroy my enemies, but I'm in with the king and the queen having this banquet, just us. I mean, he's like living large. This is what these people have done. They've just thought they're on top of the world. And then you're going to see it's going to come crashing down. So he gathered together his friends because he got angry because he saw Mordecai. Of all the things that make him so happy, now he's angry because one guy won't bow down to him. Everybody must bow to me. That's basically what his attitude is. So he couldn't be happy unless Mordecai bowed down to him or was dead. And so his wife, Zeresh, no one names their child Zeresh. Zeresh is, I don't know what it means, but she's, I'm sure, evil. So she said, just make a sharpened pole, 75 feet tall, and impale Mordecai on it. Ask the king if you can go ahead and impale him. He's on the edict to kill in March. Go ahead and just have him killed. Be done with it. What a great wife. Oh, this woman. Anyway, so yeah, and I'm going to show you something. Prepare yourself because I'm going to show you something awful, okay? This is someone being impaled. Okay, this is, let's see. This is how they would impale their enemies. I had another picture, but this is really the one. It goes straight through the person. Starting in their bum and going all the way through their mouth. I mean, it's a torturous death, and they do it slowly, cranking it up through the body. It is an absolutely horrific way to die, and it's this is what they wanted to do with Mordecai. All right, so I wanted you to see, you know, that's what the plan is, to go and so, you know, just go ahead and do that. And so he ordered for the pole to be set up. All right, I think I had a, you know, here's a picture of her touching the scepter of the king. Let me see if I can, yeah, open that up. You can see there she is touching the scepter of the king. And so, yeah, we're going to see how the Lord is going to rescue God's people. Okay, so the next thing in chapter 6, in that same video, you'll see that night, though, you know, here Haman's got one plan, but the Lord has another plan, and he has had the king up all night. Again, this is the answer to prayers that they've had for 3 days and three nights of fasting and praying. What does the Lord do? The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. He turns it whithersoever he wishes, as the psalmist said. He has awakened the king. He has had the king not just bring in someone from the harem, but he wants to read, have the eunuch bring in the history books. The history books turn right to the page where it tells about Mordecai saving his life from the assassination attempt. And he asks, has Mordecai been honored for this? Look how quickly things can turn around. Look how quickly the Lord can turn this, what it looks like just the most horrible thing, that Mordecai's going to be impaled the next day, and the Lord can turn it right around. And this is what's happening before our eyes when we see what's happening, you know, with the Epstein files, with these people being exposed before all the world, with the Bohemian Grove, with the you know, being exposed, 2,000 names, with the attack on Iran, the Iranian regime. They think they have us down for the count, and it's just like that, it's over. And if you think on the timeline of history, they had us down for the count, and by miracle, President Trump has been put in this position of authority, and now their entire system is being brought down around their ears. It's an amazing time to be on Earth. And I know our forefathers are watching from heaven. And I'm so thankful that we're awake. Pinch yourself. Again, I know you're going to have sore places. I keep telling you to pinch yourself, but it is so wonderful that the Lord is doing this and that we are awake to see it. So, yeah, so he realizes, hey, Mordecai should have been honored. Honored for what he did. He saved the king's life. And again, the Lord has just put this in his heart and had him read the history books and had the page turned to this. The whole thing is, the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. He turns it whichever way he will. All right, so next thing you know, it's morning time. And so Haman, hateful Haman, boo, is out in the courtyard. And so he brings him in and he says, hey, you know, what should I do for someone that I really want to honor? As if you know, Haman has not had enough honor. The man is never filled enough with honor. The man always wants everybody to bow down to him. He just makes me sick. Anyway, so he's saying, well, put on the royal robes and have him ride on your horse that the king has ridden on, and have him go throughout the city saying, this is the man I honor. And the king said, great idea. I love all that. Do all that for Mordecai. Oh my goodness, he was so beside himself. He was like, no, not for my great enemy Mordecai, not for the one person who won't bow down to me. And now, can you imagine it? Can you just see it? And the people know that Haman hates Mordecai because he won't bow down. I'm sure he would say, bow down, and Mordecai refused. And just, you know, unbelievable what was going on. And so, yeah, now Haman has to parade him around the entire city with on the king's own horse, leading him through the city square with the royal robes on Mordecai. Can you imagine? And so shouting, this is what the king does for someone he wishes to honor. He was mortified. He was petrified. He was humiliated. It was just awful for him. Yay! They're all being humiliated. They're all being humiliated. I would not be surprised if this, to be honest, I would not be surprised if this is suicide weekend. I think they realize that everything is turned against them. Everything is turned against Iran, the Iranian regime. the New World Order, all these people's names coming out. I would not be surprised if this is what we were told on the board, that this is, there would be suicide weekend, because they do not want to be humiliated before all the world. I wouldn't be surprised. So we'll see. Anyway, so he gets home. He tells Zeresh, his wife, what has happened. She said, again, great wife, she said, since this Mordecai has humiliated you and he's of Jewish birth, you will never succeed in your plans against him. It'll be fatal to continue opposing him, which is really true. But yeah, she's adding, he's all that he's enduring and suffering, which is great. Boo for Haman. But she's making it even worse. And so he doesn't even get a chance to breathe before the eunuchs come to take him to the second banquet. All right, so now we're going on to the second banquet. I just wanted you to see this beautiful passage in Isaiah chapter 61. It says, you will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you'll enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and an everlasting joy will be yours. The honor, we've been dishonored, right? We've been dishonored, and God's word has been dishonored. His name has been dishonored. It's like you can't pray here, and you can't speak of the Lord, and we're not going to do what the Lord wants to do, what he's written down in his word. It's everywhere. I don't even need to go into it. I mean, just all the things that they have done, and it's been dishonor to God's people. The trafficking, the gender thing, all the things that they have done, they are now, thank the Lord, stopping this terrible, these hospitals. They're not allowing them to do all this gender, surgeries. Awful what they've done, all this dishonor. That was intended to dishonor all of us, all of God's people. But instead of that happening, we will have a double share of honor. And that's exactly what's happening in this story. Things are turning around. So now the next one, I think it's this one. Yeah, number four, reverse the curse. Reverse the curse. So here is where they go to the dinner, to the banquet, and the king is like, he's on pins and needles. He's like, what is it? What is it, Queen Esther? And she's just wanting to lavish him with this beautiful banquet and all the things that he enjoys. And she's learned from Haggai what he would enjoy, and she's just putting it all on for him, just totally about him, not about her needs, which is amazing. Again, that's really what our role is in this entire battle is, you know, we're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing this to save humanity. All that we've endured, all that we've, you know, suffered, we're doing it for one reason, and it's to save humanity. We will not stop until humanity is saved, right? And so she's putting all this out for the king to enjoy this beautiful banquet. And so he says, what is your request? I will give it to you, even if it is half the kingdom. Huge thing. I mean, he already said that when he held out the golden scepter to her. This is what the Lord, our Father in heaven, says, I will give you all the kingdoms of this world. I'm going to give this all to you. You will inherit the earth. The righteous will inherit the earth. I'm giving you this kingdom. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What is that place? That place is this earth, this beautiful kingdom. I'm going to prepare it so it's a beautiful kingdom of righteousness and peace, just like in my book, The Golden Age, of health and wealth and joy and unity. So he says, if I found favor with the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my request, I ask that my life and the lives of my people will be spared. So again, she's so strong to hold back her need until it's the right moment, just like they've prayed and the Lord has led them to do. It's amazing. You know, we have to be strong and tough just like that. I think of, you know, President Trump, I'm sure years ago he wanted to go in and save Iran. He had to wait until it was the right timing. Same thing with Maduro being arrested out of Venezuela. It had to be the right timing. Same thing with Gaza. It all had to be the right timing. She says, for my people and I have been sold to those who would kill, slaughter, and annihilate us. If we had merely been sold as slaves, I would remain quiet. I wouldn't want to bother you if we were just going to be slaves. But that would be too trivial a matter to warrant disturbing the king. In other words, she just constantly showing him such great honor. I wouldn't bother you if it was just that. But this is our lives, and I you know, my life, and that's why I'm here to ask for you to grant my request to save my life. He's beside himself because this is his queen. This is his counterpart. And he's finally found someone to replace Vashti, and she's by all accounts even better, and that she is so high, so respectful, and it's just the perfect queen for him. And he is beside himself. Who would be so presumptuous as to touch you? And so immediately she points out, Haman is our adversary and our enemy, the wicked Haman. Boo, boo. Haman grew pale with fright before the king and the queen. The curse is reversed. It's all on him. The pit that he dug for us, that he's falling into. The king jumped up in a rage, and he went out into the palace garden. And so, yeah, but he's pleading for his life. And so he's bowing. She's on the couch, and he's basically in her lap. Yeah, so he is not responding well to this. He maybe could have spared his life if he had done this differently, but he's really messed up. The king went out to try to calm himself down, and now he comes back in, and Haman is in the queen's lap showing her unbelievable disrespect. Can you imagine? And so he exclaims, will he even assault the queen right here in the palace before my very eyes? And as soon as the king spoke, the attendants covered his face, signaling his doom. There you go. And they said, Harbona, one of the king's eunuchs, said, oh, Haman has a sharpened pole in his courtyard, 75 feet. He intended it to be used to impale Mordecai. They know all of his plans. President Trump knows all their plans. Pete Hegseth knows all their plans, what they've planned to do to us. And they're reversing the curse. And this is the man who saved you from assassination. He wanted to kill him. He wanted to impale him. And so the king said, impale Haman on it. So they impaled Haman on that pole, just like I was showing you that picture. I don't need to show it to you again, right? You got it. You got the idea. This is, yeah, really something. All right. So that, and then last week we talked about the mighty are fallen. It was just last week that after Prince Andrew was arrested, and so many of them are falling. The mighty are fallen. That's the video for chapters 8 and 9 are here. So Queen Esther went again. After this dinner was finished and all this happened with Haman, and he's hauled off to be impaled, and he's, I'm sure, dead, and the wife Zeresh is beside herself. And so all that money, all that household is given over to Esther. And so she gives it to Mordecai. So look at how quickly things had turned around, and all that wealth returning to the righteous, just like God's word says. Looks like I've said for so long. Silver is going up right now, and gold is going back up right now. It will destroy their empire. And so Esther went falling down at his feet and begging with tears to stop this evil plot. Well, this is the problem. He has an edict that has been sent out, and he, for his position, cannot reverse that edict. He will go down in the eyes of the people if he doesn't have this great respect. But he says this. He says, as she says, if I please the king, if I found favor, if he thinks it is right, and if I'm pleasing to him. Again, she's with such unbelievable respect. She says, let there be a decree that reverses the orders of hateful Haman, boo, who ordered all the Jews throughout the kingdom to be destroyed. How can I endure to see my people as slaughtered and destroyed, and my family destroyed too? So Xerxes said, I have given the property of Haman to you. And Haman was impaled on the pole because he tried to destroy the Jews. So go ahead and send that message out to all the provinces. That's a way to reverse the curse without actually saying kind of the king was wrong, or that Haman, you know, wrote this and the king didn't want him to. He is, by them telling that Haman has been impaled, that his property has gone to Esther, this tells them, whatever you've heard from Haman, whatever you've been told by Haman, don't do it. Don't do it. Okay? So that's the way he's saying to do it. Now go ahead, send this message, tell them whatever you want, and you can seal it with my signet ring. But remember that whatever has been written in the king's name can never be revoked. But this will revoke it. This will revoke it. And so all Mordecai is put in this position of authority, and he's sending out these letters to all these provinces, and it's sealed with the signet ring of the king. He dispatches the swift messengers. And so this was done very, very quickly, just a couple months after this edict had already been signed. So now they have to wait until Purim, March 7th, they're saying March 7th, but basically the full moon in March, for them to carry all this out. And we're going to see what's going to happen. And so now Haman's stock has gone down. Mordecai's has gone up. Everyone's going to do what honors Mordecai. No reason to honor Haman. Haman's dead and gone. And so they're going to honor Mordecai. So the king, Mordecai left the king's presence wearing this royal blue and white, a great crown of gold. So everyone is showing great respect for Mordecai. And everyone sees that this man who stood up, the Lord has raised up. How about that? How about that for all of you guys who have stood up? Your day is coming of honor. It really is. So just like Mordecai. And so many of the people of the land became Jews because they realized that you know, this is the wave. And as it says in the book of Revelation, that many will turn to the Lord in this day. So now you're going to see in the book of Esther chapter 9, you'll see that these two decrees are in effect, but one is going to supersede the other. And so everyone on that day, when the day of Purim came, again, the full moon, which is happening on Monday, the full moon, the Purim day in March, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, but quite the opposite happened. It was the Jews who overpowered their enemies. This is what we are witnessing. This is what we're watching. I'm not going to go into all the detail. Again, it's going to be on that last video. But I want you to see this, that they're doing all this destroying of the enemies, and they ask for a second day. Here it says they had killed 500. They had, she says, you know, whatever you want, it'll be granted to you. She said, had asked for a second day to continue destroying their enemies. And so it turned out they ended up killing 75,000 of their enemies. That sounds like a big number, and it is, but our number is kind of like that or even more that we have to destroy. And that's what President Trump and our military are doing right now as they go into Iran to destroy the Iranian regime. So we're going to see all of them gone. So Esther, though, when she goes in to ask the king, This one's kind of tough. This shows you what Esther is made of. She's tough because she knows we cannot play with this evil. These people have to be eradicated. Haman has 10 sons, and they have to be eradicated. They have to be removed, and no one can think that this was just an accident. They have to know that they were executed by the king for their crimes. We cannot allow Haman and his bloodline, his evil regime to continue. That has to be stopped cold. And that's where we are on the timeline of history. We have to stop this new world order so it never comes back again. Look at this. It says, but now what more do you want? It will be granted to you. Tell me and I will do it. So Esther responded, if it please the king, give the Jews and Susa permission to do again tomorrow as they have done. Okay, so she's wanting a second day. And let the bodies of Haman's 10 sons be impaled on a pole. They were all 10 sons were impaled. Their new world order, Haman and his sons, their bloodline was stopped. That was the end of it. That was the end of it. The king agreed. The decree was announced. They impaled the bodies of Haman's 10 sons. Just like Esther said, Esther is very tough. She's beautiful. She's strong. She's courageous. And she does not play. The Jews at Susa gathered together, and they killed 300 more. And then all throughout the kingdom, they killed 75,000 who hated them. This is all these ones who have been plotting this evil edict and were wanting to kill all the Jews, they were destroyed instead. This is the boomerang. And I have a feeling something big is going to happen with Israel. Just wait and see. Once this is done, once the Iranian regime is done, just wait and see. We're going to watch and see. So to this day, all the Jews living in remote villages celebrate an annual festival and holiday on the appointed day in late winter when they rejoice and send gifts of food to each other. This is what we should have been studying and celebrating all this time, but we did not. They did not want to seed our thoughts on that there would be an edict against our lives, that there would be our enemies, and that we would rejoice over them, their annihilation. They didn't want this celebrated at all. And so that is why we always celebrate this on the, on our show, on our channel, on the Freedom Force Battalion. We celebrate Purim every year, the destruction of our enemies. We realize now that we, these people, we don't just have a political difference with it. We have to destroy them. We have to destroy them. All right, so all these things are recorded, and this is now part of their festivals. Celebrate with feasting and gladness. Give gifts to the poor, and give gifts of food to each other. Commemorate this time when we gained relief from our enemies, when their sorrow was turned to gladness and their mourning into joy. This is where we are, you guys. This is where we are. So the Jews accepted Mordecai's proposal and adopted this as their custom. Again, instead of all of them being eradicated, now this is the custom of this empire. Do you see the reversal of the curse? Absolutely amazing. And so, yeah, so this is what the celebration is called Purim, because the lots were reversed and changed to God's people. So this letter went out throughout all of the empire, because everyone was showing great respect and honor to Mordecai now and to God's people. So, and Queen Esther wrote another letter with full authority behind Mordecai's letter to establish this festival of Purim. Again, we haven't celebrated it, and we should have, but either way, now we will. From in the Golden Age, we will celebrate these forever, because we'll realize this was the celebration of the annihilation of this satanic criminal cabal that had done so much damage to the world. All right, so again, here was that chapter 10 I read at the very beginning of this video. It says, Ahasuerus laid a tribute on the land and the islands of the sea. Aren't all the acts of his might, you know, written in these chronicles, the history books? And he says, for Mordecai, the Jew was next to the king Ahasuerus. This is a picture of God's people alongside with the queen, raised into this position of authority, great among God's people, accepted by the multitude of his brothers, seeking good of his people and speaking peace to all his descendants. That's what's going to be happening. Imagine this, the Golden Age, where we have good people in these positions, all the kings of the world bowing down to Christ and doing good for the people instead of harming them. And just going to be so wonderful. So wonderful. All right, I think that's it. So again, here is the playlist right here that says Biblical Esther on melissaredpill.com. If you missed some of the videos, I know I went quickly through this, but you can see each chapter, verse by verse, what happened in each chapter. It's very, very exciting. It's one of the books I really encourage you to read this book and to become really familiar with it, and just to rejoice that we are the Esther in this day. We are the Esther. We are being raised into this position. All right, I think that's everything. We did it. We did it. We did our study just in time for Purim. So stay tuned. Watch. I'm going to see you tomorrow morning. We're going to talk about, actually, you know, before I jet, I'm going to show you super quick the this. Hopefully, I can find very quickly this beautiful blood moon that is happening on my. You go to my Melissa Red Pill X account, and hopefully we'll find. Yeah, there it is. Yay! That's on March 3rd, 2026, is where we have a blood moon. It's on the Purim Festival, which is to celebrate the destruction of our enemies, and it's also potentially the 1335th day. I go into more detail about that on, you look on my the pinned post on my X account, and I talk more about that, but I'm not going to go into that right now. But I have a strong feeling that that's the day where it says, blessed are those who come to the 1335 days. We'll watch and see. Let's pray. Thank you again, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. We bless your name. We just give you great honor. We're not coming to ask anything, really. We just want to give you praise and thanks for your great plan to rescue humanity. We thank you that you love us and that you have great plans for us, that you will have us inherit this earth. Thank you that you speak to our hearts and that you've given us the courage and the fortitude to first of all, to understand the truth, and also to fight and to speak the truth and to bear up under all that they have attempted to do to us. But that by your power, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we have been able to stand like Mordecai in this day and to fight back against our enemies. And we know, just like in this book of Esther, that the day of our enemies will be over. They'll be gone. You say in your word that we'll look for our enemies and we won't be able to find them, and that we will have this double honor, and that your word will be honored, and that your name will be honored, and that your people will be honored, and no more will we have all this evil in this world. We just praise you for the Golden Age, health and wealth and peace and joy and unity. beautiful arts and beautiful, everything beautiful, set right. Oh, just so thankful for what you're doing to let us be a part of your kingdom coming and your will being done on this earth as it is in heaven. I pray you continue to strengthen us until this battle is completely finished. I pray you continue to strengthen our minds and our bodies that will to stand and fight in this great day. And just help us to teach, to tell the truth to anybody who's willing to listen. Lord, guide us on what you'd have us to do, just like you did with Esther. And so much. Don't forget, if you have any health issues, please go to freedomforce.live. There's so many wonderful health, so much great health information. Go and check this out. It's so, so great because we have so many wonderful patriots who've been fighting so hard. And many of these things are not allowed to be shared over on YouTube. So definitely check these things out over on my page. Just wonderful. And if you click on each link, you can learn more about them because we will have our health back in the golden age. All right, guys, I love you. I guess that's it. And I'm going to play one little last thing and then we're out of here and have a great day. And don't forget, I'll see you tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. All right. Love you guys. I love you. I'll talk to you later. Release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title: King of Kings and Lord of Lords.